We ready?
Oh, yeah.
Time to get this party started.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Please welcome.
You are now on the clock with Matt Geiger on Ignotainment Media Network.
Thank you for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. You are now listening to the You Are On The Clock podcast. My name is Matt Geiger, joined, as always, by my co-host, Iron Mike. How you doing, Iron Mike?
I'm doing great, thank you.
We're joined by our studio audience. And before we get started, we want to say a quick thank you to DJ Illegal for the awesome intro music again. We also want to say thank you to Sarah, whose voice you could hear in the intro. And we want to say thank you to The Park Bar and Tap in Hazlitt, New Jersey, where you can find us every Sunday for NFL football. The Park's going to have us do some pretty cool stuff there, so you're not going to want to miss it if you're in the New Jersey, New York area. Make sure you take yourself out there. On the show this week, we're going to talk about the week one picks. We're going to make our picks, who's winning, who's losing. We're going to talk about divisional winners. We're going to predict the playoffs. We're going to predict a Super Bowl winner. And then if we have some time, we're going to talk about
awards,
MVP, defensive, offensive player, rookie of the year, comeback player, stuff like that. Before we go into that, we have some news and injury notes. First off, quarterback Tim Tebow has been cut by the Philadelphia Eagles. That came just a day after the Eagles traded Matt Barkley, their third or fourth string quarterback at the time, to Arizona. They went out and signed Stephen Morris as well. In Seattle, Ronnie Turbin, running back, was cut. Seattle then also traded running back Christine Michael to Dallas. So with that, Fred Jackson, who signed a one-year deal earlier in the week, is now going to inherit a bigger role. And Pete Carroll said that he's probably going to see a large chunk of playing time, especially on third down. In the ruling against Tom Brady, the judge elects to say that there will be no suspension. Now, Commissioner Goodell is going to appeal that, but as of right now, Tom Brady will be playing on Thursday when this season kicks off against the Steelers. Terrence West of the Cleveland Browns has been traded to Tennessee, that coming right after Tennessee placed injured rookie running back David Cobb on the IR. News coming from the JPP camp. JPP is going to report to the New York Giants. They're trying to work out a contract probably as we speak. Also, Matt Castle had been cut by the Bills and then actually re-signed. So the Bills are going to save themselves some money. I think he was due to make $4.25 million. We also have news from Jacksonville where TJ Yeldon has been named the starting running back for week one. And Reggie Wayne has been cut by the Patriots. It was a mutual thing. He actually asked for a release. I think he realized that he's not going to be able to take as big of a role on as he's used to, and he'd rather go out on top rather than being like a third or fourth receiver.
Yeah, he said that he wasn't picking up with the playbook as he thought he would, and it wasn't fun.
All right, now quick injuries. Leotis McKelvin of the Buffalo Bills is heading to the PUP list. Defensive tackle Star Latulewe from Carolina is doubtful to play in the season opener. Cleveland Browns running back Duke Johnson is questionable as he still hasn't passed through concussion protocol. Safety TJ Ward has been suspended one game by the NFL for violation of the league's personal conduct policy. Indianapolis Colts running back Dan Heron is out for the season with a shoulder injury. That's going to be important. You're going to see, I think Josh Robinson is going to have a more increased role as the backup behind Frank Gore. Jay Ajayi has been placed on the injured reserve designated for return by the Miami Dolphins. If you listen to the AFC podcast from last week, you'll know we talked about Jay Ajayi quite a bit. And the Patriots center, Brian Stork, is questionable to play week one. That's big because they're playing on Thursday. Brandon LaFell, the wide receiver from the Patriots, has been placed on the PUP list. He could be back by week nine. Jets cornerback Dean Milliner was also placed on the PUP list. Rams running back Trey Mason is a game time decision for week one against Seattle. Star receiver from Tampa Bay, Mike Evans, says he will play in week one. And what does that say, Iron Mike?
ET3, that's what I call Earl Thomas.
Okay, which is why I had no idea what it was. Earl Thomas will play at free safety come week one against the Rams. And what was the last bit in?
Oh, I was just writing out that it was Earl Thomas because you didn't know what ET3 meant.
All right. So we're going to jump into the week one pick'em between me and Iron Mike. Let's get right into it.
All right. So the first game is obviously on Thursday, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers at the New England Patriots. What do you like, Matt?
I think it's probably going to be a closer game, although Pittsburgh doesn't have Le'Veon Bell. The Patriots don't have LeGarrette Blount. We didn't think that Tom Brady would be here, but he is. I'm taking the Patriots.
I'm going to agree with you on that one.
All right, then let's go to the next game.
Next game will be in Chicago, where they host the Green Bay Packers.
This is a no-brainer here. I'm taking Green Bay. Chicago is not going to be a team that anybody's going to have to worry about this year.
Yeah, I'm also going to take Green Bay. And next we go into Houston, where they host the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going to take the Houston Texans here. I like their defense, and I just don't see anything special in Kansas City right now. What do you think for that game?
I'm going to take Kansas City. I like the chemistry that Alex Smith has with Jeremy Maclin already, even though it was preseason games. I like Kansas City's offense more. I think Houston might struggle a little bit, especially with Arian Foster out. I'm taking Kansas City.
All right. So next up on the slate is the New York Jets hosting the Cleveland Browns. I like the Jets in this one, and I usually don't like the Jets in anyone. What do you think?
I think this is going to be a smash-mouth game. I think it's going to be a punch in the mouth for each team. I'm going to have to go with the Jets just based on quarterback play. I think Fitzpatrick puts together a better game than whoever the quarterback's going to be in Cleveland, because that could change by halftime.
Yeah, it could. I just see the defense for the New York Jets winning it out.
You know? I agree, but you also have to remember that Sheldon Richardson suspended. Leonard Williams might not play, so you could see a little bit of a skeleton on the defensive line. So next we're going to go to the Indianapolis Colts, who are playing the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. I think this is the year Andrew Luck really makes a bigger leap and proves that he's the elite quarterback. I take Indianapolis, especially with Leotis McKelvin out in Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. I'm going to take Andrew Luck and the Colts there as well. I think it starts off as a tight game, maybe for as much as half of the first quarter. But then I think that Indy realizes they're not going to be able to run the ball, and they start, you know, throwing all over him.
All right, let's go Miami, Washington. I don't see any way that Miami even hangs in this game. I think that Washington hangs in this game. I see Miami jumping out early. I see them probably up 24-6 at half.
Now, is that because of the quarterback controversy going on?
It has a little bit to do with that. It also has a lot to do with the fact that Washington is an awful football team. Who do you got, Mike?
I like Miami as well. I don't see them pulling out that big in the first half. But, you know, they're a better team all around on both sides of the ball.
What's the next game?
Next game is the Carolina Panthers at the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I'm going to surprise some people. I'm taking Jacksonville. I don't like Cam Newton's offensive line. I don't like the fact that he's missing Kelvin Benjamin. I don't like the fact that Devin Funchess might not play. The number one and number two receivers listed on the roster right now are Philly Brown and Ted Ginn. I think there's reason for concern. They have a good defense, but I don't think the defense can last all game if Cam's on his ass.
I agree with you on that, but even with that being said and probably coming through, I still see Carolina Panthers on top at the end of this one.
You know, I don't see either team scoring more than 17 points.
Probably not. It's just Jacksonville is Jacksonville. I don't see them getting a win the first
next
week.
Game we have is the St. Louis Rams hosting the Seattle Seahawks. As big of a homer as I am, you can't pick St. Louis. I'm taking Seattle.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you. No explanation.
No explanation. Next game is the Arizona Cardinals hosting the New Orleans Saints. Mike, you're taking New Orleans on this.
I'm taking New Orleans. I see a big bounce back for the New Orleans Saints this year after missing the playoffs last year. I think Drew Brees, you know, returns to a player he was a few years ago. What do you think?
Listen, he could return to that player. I don't think it's going to matter. Arizona's one of my sleeper teams this year. I think they grab a wild card, and I think they start off week one with a win.
Right. Next up, we have the San Diego Superchargers hosting the Detroit Lions.
I'm taking Detroit here. I like what they're doing. Joique Bell might not play. I don't think that matters. I think Amir Abdullah has a huge game. I think Matt Stafford gets back on track, finds Calvin. He's hooking up all over the field. Hopefully he finds Eric Ebron because he's starting tight end in one of my fantasy football leagues. Nonetheless, I think San Diego is a little questionable this year. I'm going to take the Lions.
I'm going to go ahead and take San Diego. I think the loss of Ndamukong Suh hasn't really hit them yet as far as the Lions' defensive line. I just think that the Chargers, with their more superior offensive line, can control the trenches in this one and overtake the game, keep the Lions' offense off the field.
I do have to say, though, I think Detroit's defense is a little underrated. Even with Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley missing, I still think they have a really good defense. They have arguably one of the better middle linebackers in the league in DeAndre Levy. Secondary is pretty good. Glover Quinn, you know, Pro Bowl talent. So
they definitely have talent. I just don't see them putting it all together in week one.
It could come together, but it's not going to come together early is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
All right.
The loss of Sue is just too big. I don't think you fix that over.
We're going to have to record these picks and keep tallies for the whole year.
Yeah, of course. Of course. This is being recorded. We don't have to do it.
Yeah, that's true. Let's go to the next game, which is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on the Tennessee Titans. It's the week one 1-2 pick rookie matchup between Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. I'm taking Tennessee here. Surprise pick. I don't like Jameis Winston. I don't think he's going to be that good of a quarterback. They have offensive line questions everywhere. I have to go and say that Mariota could be the potential rookie of the year. They're not going to win, 10 games. They might not even win 5, but they're going to win this one.
I don't think so. I think you are right about Jameis Winston. I think he struggles big time in the first half, and you see Mike Glennon come in and lead the Tampa Bay Bucs to victory in week one.
All right, what's the next game?
Next game, you got the Oakland Raiders hosting the Cincinnati Bengals.
Upset city, I'm taking Oakland.
Not too much of an upset because I'm thinking the same thing.
All right.
Young offense, watch out.
I love this offense. That's all we're going to say about that. Next game.
Got the Denver Broncos hosting the Baltimore Ravens.
The who? The who?
The
I thought Denver had a bye. Next game.
Next up, we got the Cowboys hosting the G-Men.
Give me Dallas all day. It's going to be a shootout. I think Romo throws 4 touchdown passes.
That's very possible. All their games are usually good. They start off slow, and then they pick up a lot.
If you guys listen to our first episode, I go off on the New York Giants front office about how they're mistreating their players. They don't have any safeties. Dez is going to torch everybody. I'd say Dez has a huge game. You might want to throw him in your FanDuel lineups. We might be doing a special podcast tomorrow. We might talk a little bit about FanDuel on that as well. He'll probably be in my lineup. Like I said, Romo throws for 4. I think Dez gets 2.
Sure, and hope so.
I think the running game's going for 250.
250 is a little steep if you're saying, Romo's going to throw for 4 now.
Don't watch me, watch TV.
All right. And with that being said, I'm going to agree and take the Dallas Cowboys.
Next game.
Got the Philadelphia Eagles going down to the Dirty South.
Monday night, first game of a doubleheader Monday night. There's no way Atlanta even hangs close in this game. I think Bradford hangs 35, which is, it just saddens me to say that. Listen, Bradford might not be healthy the whole season. He might only have a few quarters left in him because he hasn't made it this far into a regular season in 2 years. But they're going to hang some points up. Their starters are going to be out by the end of the third quarter. I'm taking Philly.
I don't think it's going to be that big of a blowout. I agree there's going to be a lot of points scored. But I think Atlanta can hang with them. I think the defense will surprise a lot of people compared to how bad it was last year.
They were bad last year. The whole team was bad. So then let's go to the last game, which is
a 10-20 start on the East Coast. 10-20,
Minnesota Vikings at the San Francisco 49ers. We're going to argue about this one a little bit because I don't think San Fran is very good this year. I think they finished last in their division. I'm going to take the Minnesota Vikings, the young team led by Teddy Bridgewater.
I'm going to disagree and go ahead and take the hometown San Fran 49ers on Monday night. I just think that going into the season, I believe they won their last three preseason games.
Ooh.
They're a more all-around, you know, heavy-built team than the Minnesota Vikings, I think.
No, they're not. Minnesota's going to surprise a lot of people. They're going to start week one with a win against
the Niners. Going into week one, they're more all-around well-built than the Minnesota Vikings. You'll see why I think that, you know, coming up later. I'm not shoving the Vikings under the rug here.
All right, well, that's the last game we have for week one. We're now going to talk a little bit about who we think is going to win the divisions. We're going to give you a little bit of our playoff scenarios. And we're going to start with the AFC East, where we clean swept picking the Pats to win the division. You got anything to say about that?
I think that, you know, teams like Miami and New York, even Buffalo, all four in that division are going to be, you know, playing well this year. But the New England Patriots are just, they're just too good of a team.
In this order, New England, Miami, New York, Buffalo. That's how I think the standings play out. The Pats have something to play for now. Brady's back. They have all these allegations of Deflategate surrounding them. When the Patriots have a reason to play pissed off, they win games. They might go undefeated this year.
They might. That's a bold statement. The last time they pushed for that, you know, they did it in the regular season, but they also had a guy named Randy Moss.
Right. Now, I'm not saying that this Pats team is better than that Pats team, but I just think, first of all, I think they could clean sweep the division, which would pretty much lock it up for them right off the bat. We're going to go AFC North, where me and Mike both pick the Pittsburgh Steelers to win the division. Nothing really to talk about there. I think they run away with it. The offense is amazing. I think the defense is a little underrated. Mike, you got anything to add to that?
As bad as the defense is, again, it's a little bit underrated. They have a lot of young guys. You might be surprised with their defense this year. But like Matt said, I just think that Pittsburgh's offense is too good for any defense in that division to stop them from winning it.
Right. If you're playing the pass, then they're going to start pounding the ball with Le'Veon Bell. If you start stacking the box, they're going to throw it over your head. Martavis Bryant's only suspended 4 games, and you still have Antonio Brown, Marcus Wheaton, Heath Miller. The offense is going to put some numbers up, and I think they compete with Green Bay and the Colts to be one of the best offense in the league.
Well, now, you said that Martavis Bryant was suspended 4 games, and Le'Veon Bell is also suspended 2 games, correct?
Right.
All right, so the first 2 games, they play the Patriots and the 49ers. The 49ers game is at home, all right? That's probably a split there. And then they get Le'Veon Bell back for the Rams and the Ravens. And then week 5, Martavis Bryant would come back in San Diego.
Looking at this schedule right here for Pittsburgh, I see week 1 being a loss. I see them taking games against the Niners, Rams, and Ravens. And then they get Martavis Bryant back for a Monday night game against the Chargers. Or is that a Sunday night game? I'm not sure.
That's most likely a Sunday night game. It's
on ESPN? Yeah. But either way, it's a late game. I think Martavis Bryant breaks out right away. They could be 4-1 going, or 3-1 going into week 5 against the Chargers.
Sorry about that. That is a Monday night game on ESPN.
I win.
Yeah, so even with the two suspensions to their two of their key offensive weapons, you still think they start 3-1?
I still think they start 3-1.
Yeah, it's
Listen, with Big Ben as your quarterback, you don't have a lot to worry about. If the running game's not working without Le'Veon Bell, they're just going to throw the ball all over the place. We're going to go to the AFC South where there's literally nothing to talk about. We're both picking the Colts, and that's that. And then we move to the West where...
You don't think anybody gives them a run for their money?
No.
No?
Not a chance.
Not even Houston?
No.
No?
No, I don't think Houston
You're
has a quarterback.
You're not going to be surprised at
all? I don't think Houston has a quarterback play to compete in that division. Houston's on their way up, but right now they're just wasting contract years for J.J. Watt. AFC West, Mike, you're taking Denver. I'm taking the Chiefs.
Why so?
I think that the Chiefs have been flying under the radar for the last few years. They're slowly building their roster, and it's really coming together. They have this revamped wide receiver core. They have Alex Smith, the king of the dink and dunk, and they have one of the best running backs in the league in Jamaal Charles.
Listen, that totally surprises me that you would take Kansas City over the Denver Broncos. Yes, Peyton Manning's on his way out.
I think it surprises you more that I'm taking the Chiefs because Alex Smith lost me a fantasy championship.
Yeah, a little bit too on that note. totally forgot about that one.
But you're comparing it to me picking Alex Smith over Peyton Manning?
Well, it's not a one-man sport here. You know, it's a whole team. I just think that the Broncos, you know, they have a new coach coming in, which might hurt them. It might help them. I don't see anything special in Kansas City.
I'm not saying that the Broncos completely fall off because I believe I have them as one of my wild card picks. I just, in this NFL, I think Peyton Manning is getting older. You're going to see him start declining. It's got to start sometime. And the last few years, it's been because of injury, not because of age. I think now the age starts to show a little bit more. You're going to see a lot more passes with not as much zip on them, not as tight of a spiral. And that's going to cause some turnovers.
Well, I think you're right that he's going to start declining. I think it already did last year, but like you said, it had to do with an injury, the quad injury. But Demaryius Thomas was quoted this year saying that he's felt the most zip on a ball coming from Manning that he's ever felt.
Right, but if you watch some of his throws in the preseason...
Some of his, what, 7 throws?
Meh. We're also just going to add a quick note to this, and that is that the Broncos had cut Monty Ball. He cleared waivers. He's a free agent. He can go wherever he wants. Somebody's going to wind up with him. He could be something. I guess he just wasn't in favor in Denver anymore. But that's totally irrelevant when you're picking.
Yeah, I see Ronnie Hillman pulling out there over C.J. Anderson.
Do you really?
By year's end, yeah, I do.
That would be very unfortunate for my second round pick.
Yeah, it would. And that's why I steered clear of C.J. Anderson this year.
All right, so we're going to move to the wild card picks where I have the Broncos and the Miami Dolphins. I think Miami's very competitive in that division, and I think Denver's competitive in the West, too. Mike, you have two AFC North teams in the wild card, and that's the Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, correct. I agree with you as far as Miami hanging in there, but I think they win 10 and still miss the playoffs.
So you're saying that they're going to get pushed out by one of the AFC North teams?
Correct. Correct. I think, I believe maybe 2 or 3 years ago, you saw 3 teams from the AFC North make the playoffs in the Steelers, the Bengals, and the Ravens. I think it happens again this year. All 3 of those teams are very good teams. And, you know, I have Pittsburgh barely winning the division because of their defense.
All right, let's move it on over to the NFC. And in the East, we already have a little bit of a debate here. We only have one team. It's a split. I have the Dallas Cowboys. Who do you got?
I like the New York Giants to come out on top of this division this year. They have a young, somewhat young, explosive offense. You know, you got Odell Beckham, obviously. You have Victor Cruz possibly returning week one. You know, he might not make it out there week one. But I think that Eli Manning going into his second year with McAdoo's offense, correct? I think they take it to the next level here, even though the defense is awful. All right,
let me interject real quick, and that's exactly what I was going to say. Name four guys on their defense.
JPP's pinky finger, his ring finger, and his middle finger.
Okay. The defense is not going to stop anybody, especially in week one matchup against Dallas. Dallas has the best offensive line in the league. You know, they might not have a star running back running behind it, but you got Darren McFadden, you got Joe Randall, and now you have Christine Michael, who may very well come right in and take that starting role. Their defense is way underrated. They have two edge rushers in Greg Hardy and Randy Gregory, who I think, once they're both on the field at the same time, are going to wreak havoc in that division. I mean, I guess the team we're not talking about is Philly. And Philly could fly under the radar and win the whole thing.
Philly could, but last year they missed the playoffs, right?
They were 10-6 and missed the playoffs.
10-6 and missed the playoffs. They had a good season, a really good season. This year, I don't think that they repeat it. I think that they maybe get 9 wins, but they have a very good year. I just don't think that Chip Kelly can put it all together yet.
I like Tony Romo. A lot of people have been shitting on him for the last few years, but he's one of the most consistent quarterbacks in the league, and I think that continues. They have veteran leadership in that locker room. They know they have to win now. Guys like Jason Witten, Tony Romo are getting older, and that window for them to win is closing.
I see the New York Giants winning 5, possibly all 6 division games, and then maybe putting together 3 or 4 more wins, and that's all they need in that division is 9 to get in.
You're out of your mind. All right, NFC North, I'm taking the Green Bay Packers. That's a no-brainer, in my opinion. Nobody talks about the defense, but the defense is really good.
The defense is really good.
They have a strong secondary, which they improved on in the draft. You got guys like Clay Matthews, Julius Peppers on the defense, pass rushing. I mean, you don't have to really talk about the offense if you're talking about how good this defense is, and they're very underrated. And then you look at the offense, they're led by the best offensive player in the league in Aaron Rodgers. You know, and then they have a young workhorse of a running back in Eddie Lacy. They might have lost Jordy Nelson for the year, but I don't think it matters. I think Davante Adams fits that role perfect, and they might not lose a game in that division either.
I'm going to disagree. I don't think that Green Bay wins that division. I think that Minnesota walks away with it. Matt noted before, Teddy Bridgewater, a pretty good young quarterback coming into his second year in Minnesota. I think he has the weapons with Adrian Peterson returning, which we'll touch upon later. Charles Johnson coming into his second year, right?
Second year.
I like other receivers they have there. Jarius Wright.
Mike Wallace.
Mike Wallace was brought in the offseason. And I think Cordarrelle Patterson in his third year finally makes an impact.
He had a huge, huge sophomore slump after a pretty impressive rookie year. And I remember being at the NFL draft the year that Cordarrelle Patterson got taken. And the Rams had a pick before them, and they were both targeting receivers. When the Rams took Tavon Austin, I was excited because Austin's a dynamic player, but I would have rather, at that point, had a guy like Cordarrelle Patterson, who's arguably doing the same things Austin's doing, but he has the size to be an NFL receiver. And look at where they're both at right now. They're on the verge of being huge busts. But this could, like Iron Mike said, be a big breakout year for Cordarrelle Patterson. I love Minnesota. I don't see them taking the division from Green Bay. We both picked the Atlanta Falcons to win the NFC South.
I think that's kind of by default.
Right. I mean, the Saints could hang in there.
I don't have confidence in their defense.
I love Atlanta's offensive weapons. somebody's going to have to emerge as their bell cow in the running game between Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman. I think Coleman's the better of the two, but I don't think it necessarily matters. If you have a 1-2 punch and you have the offensive weapons that you have with Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Roddy White, you know, Leonard Hankerson, I think, inherited the role that Harry Douglas left when he went to Tennessee.
Correct.
I think this offense is going to be just as good, if not better, than it has been in more recent years, you know, with that Julio Roddy White 1-2 punch.
Well, Roddy White's got to get back on the field first.
Right.
And then with Dan Quinn coming in, I think, you know, he turns around that.
I could see the defense taking a big step forward.
Yeah.
They found their pass rusher in Vic Beasley from Clemson. He's a rookie that they brought in the first round. They've added some pieces there. Their secondary is a little questionable, but if you could keep putting up points, then all you need is quarterback pressure and turnovers to make their way there. If you have to throw your way back into a game, then you don't want to be doing that against a Dan Quinn defense.
How many wins you see Atlanta with by the end of the year?
I'm going to have to look at their schedule real quick. While I'm looking at Atlanta's schedule, you want to talk about, I don't know, maybe the potential Carolina Panthers or New Orleans Saints winning the division?
No, I'd rather bring it out west and, you know, talk about potentially the Arizona Cardinals stealing it from the Seattle Seahawks. Like you said, Arizona's a really good team. Last year, I believe they started the season with 7 or 8 wins in their first 9 weeks, no? And then, you know, quarterback problems took over.
All right, so.
And they just couldn't hang in there.
I mean, I can't agree or disagree with that. But we're looking at Atlanta's schedule right now. They open against the Eagles. I see that being a loss. I could see them taking one against the Giants. So it's 1 win, 2 wins, 3 wins, 4, 5, 6, 7. I mean, we're going to see another 8-8 team win the division.
That's exactly the number I had in my head. I didn't want to say it. I wanted to see what you thought first.
Yeah, just looking at their schedule, I mean, they have one of, I think, what looks like one of the tougher schedules. You know, you got games against home against the Eagles, at New York, at Dallas. Then you got to play week 6 at New Orleans, which I don't think they win. Who else? At the Niners, hosting the Colts, hosting the Vikings. Then
two division games.
At the Panthers, I don't see really winning. And then they end the season against the Panthers and the Saints home, which could make or break the entire division. It's always a toss up
in the South.
In the South, you saw that last year when Carolina won, because didn't they have a tie on their schedule? That's what put them through.
Yeah, I believe so. I think they tied Pittsburgh.
Yeah, yeah. And then they host a game in the playoffs with a losing record, or was it a 500 record? Whatever it was. And then they win. They beat the Cardinals without Carson Palmer. All right, so we're going to move to the West. There's no question that the Seahawks are winning that division. I love my Rams. I just don't see the Rams or the Niners competing. I think it's interesting what the Arizona Cardinals could do this year. They've built themselves back up to where they want to be, where they were at the beginning of last season before they had running back injuries, before Carson Palmer got hurt. The Honey Badger went down. He was a big part of their defense. He was creating turnovers. Seattle, listen, you have to, they haven't done anything to not, you know, to not solidify themselves as division winners. You know what I mean?
Oh, I agree 100%. Even if Cam Chancellor holds out the whole season,
which a lot of players are thinking he is going to do. Earl Thomas said he'll be ready for week one. They could walk through this division, I think, St. Louis always plays competitive games against Seattle. They have Seattle and St. Louis week one in St. Louis, which is usually a tough game for them. I'm not saying that they win or lose, but aside from Arizona, I really don't see any other competition in the division, which is why me and Iron Mike both took Seattle to win. And then when we're looking at your wild cards, I'm picking the Philadelphia Eagles, who we talked about could possibly win the division. And if that's true, then I see Dallas taking the wild card. And then I like Arizona as my second wild card team, while Iron Mike has Philadelphia and the Packers. So what we're looking at for your AFC playoffs, in the AFC Championship, Mike has the New England Patriots against the Denver Broncos. And who do you think's winning that one?
I think New England wins. You know, as much as I like both teams this year, as much as I think Peyton Manning strings it together and puts together a full, complete, solid season this year without any injuries, and he proves everybody wrong that he's too old, I just think that Belichick and the Patriots are too much for him.
And I have the Deflategate rematch pitting the New England Patriots against the Colts. And like we talked about earlier, I mean, the Pats have too much. And they, if you give a Bill Belichick team a reason to get pissed off and go out and play, they're going to win. I really don't see him stopping. And then we're going to go to the NFC Championship game, where I have the Dallas Cowboys beating the Green Bay Packers. I really like this Dallas team. I hope I'm jinxing them, because I would not want to see the Cowboys win a Super Bowl in my lifetime. But I think Dallas is too much for a lot of teams this year. I think the defense takes a huge step forward, and the offense is just as dominant as it was, even without DeMarco Murray. Iron Mike, you got the Seattle Seahawks versus the New York Giants, which, ugh.
Even though I just said they might only win 9 games and win the division, you know, I still see Philly making the playoffs only because the NFC is so terrible. Teams can make it into the playoffs with an 8-8 record and, you know, even a losing record down south and still make it into the playoffs. But I see the New York Giants riding in high into the playoffs and riding it all the way through to the NFC Championship game against the Seattle Seahawks, where they will then get embarrassed. Yes. Knocked off of their
first
pedestal.
Of all, the Giants will not be in the playoffs.
I think they will.
You're wrong. And our Super Bowl matchups, I had the Dallas Cowboys against the Patriots. Mike has the Seattle Seahawks in a rematch against the Patriots. Both of us are picking the Patriots. I don't see anybody really giving them a game.
No, I see actually. You know, they'll give him a game. I see it a similar ending to last year, except, what was his name? Malcolm Butler?
Yeah.
I think he goes over the top of Jimmy Graham this time and doesn't step in front of a pass. Over the top, Jimmy Graham.
Over the
Graham.
Top? Yes. And then I think Malcolm Butler gives Tom Brady a truck.
Hey, buddy, this one's on me. I give it back.
All right, so we do have some time left. We're going to go into our awards predictions. Iron Mike, who's winning the MVP of the year?
Well, from the looks of this sheet right here, we both agree that it's going to be Andrew Luck.
We didn't really agree on much after that. But I think Andrew Luck has all the right weapons, and he finally is going to make that step into elite status and show people why he's the quote-unquote second coming of Peyton Manning.
Not only does he have the weapons offensively with Andre Johnson coming, Frank Gore coming, Philip Dorsett being drafted, but he can also make
ends.
And the tight ends who, you know, are good tight ends. Andrew Luck obviously makes them better than they are, but Andrew Luck can also work with his feet and his legs. He can run the ball into the end zone, which other quarterbacks that have the ability to do so aren't blessed with the same arm and, you know, knowledge and presence on the field as Andrew Luck has.
Right. Now, I mean, I just pulled up the Colts schedule, and you look at it, and I don't really see any team that's going to give Andrew Luck much of a challenge.
Definitely not in the division.
They open up against the Bills and the Jets, but then they play the Titans, the Jaguars, the Texans. The Patriots is going to be a tough game. That's in Indy on a Sunday night. Then they play the Saints and the Panthers. The Broncos, again, you're going to see the mentor versus the youngin'.
Not so much the mentor, but, well, you know.
They run their camp. Andrew Luck's been a coach at Peyton Manning's camp, I'm sure, and he's attended Peyton Manning's camp. So it's almost like the
I know what you're
the
saying.
Heir apparent to the throne versus the ex-king.
Yes.
And then they play the Falcons and the Bucks. I don't see those being anything that they can't come out with a win. Then they play at Pittsburgh, which could be an interesting game.
It's going to be a shootout Sunday night.
Then they close out with the Jaguars, Texans, Dolphins, and Titans. I think
I see them winning 12-13 games.
He has the potential to break records, I think, this year.
Yeah, for sure, especially with the weak defenses on the slate, especially in the division. You know, most of these games, they're going to shoot out, you know, on top early, three touchdowns right away.
And then they could pound the ball with their newly acquired Frank Gore.
Yeah. All right. He's going to be involved in the passing game, too.
I believe so. I think with
which helps, because Andrew Luck has never had a running back coming out of the backfield and catching balls.
Right. Well, I mean, for one full year, he had Trent Richardson.
Ooh. What now, is he now?
Installing cable boxes. All right, so...
Best of luck.
We were talking about the heir apparent to the Peyton Manning throne. Iron Mike, you have Peyton Manning winning Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah. He still has the stuff, but he doesn't have Andrew Luck stuff. Like I just said, Andrew Luck has the ability to make plays when he runs the ball.
Listen, my argument to this is I just think Peyton Manning is going to ask for his targets to do more than they've had to do in recent years. His balls are going to be wobbly. That sounded funny. He's not going to have that touch on the passes he's throwing as much anymore. He might not have the arm strength to throw it as far, so he's going to be asking a lot of his receivers. I don't see him putting up Offensive Player of the Year type numbers.
Yeah, but when you say he's going to be asking a lot of his receivers, you look at what Demaryius Thomas can do on, you know, a smoke screen.
And I was just going to say that you're going to see a lot more of that this year with all of their players. I think you're going to see the running backs get even more involved in the running game. I don't think he puts up Offensive Player of the Year.
I think they go a little bit less on the screens because a lot of teams were picking up on it last year. I think with Kubiak coming in now this year,
right,
they rely a lot more on the play action, downfield throws. And you're going to be surprised. Peyton Manning still has it.
Didn't surprise me.
I'm not gonna. He's going to.
All right. Well, they might have to have Brock Osweiler carry his Walker on the field
after drives. My Offensive
Player
of the Year pick is 5 times better than yours.
Well, I'm going out on a limb here. I just think that this guy could really do some damage this year.
You want to let everybody know who this guy is?
Yeah, it's Julio Jones.
I don't disagree that he's going to have a
receiver
good year.
From Atlanta. I love Julio Jones this year. We were just talking about the fact that Matt Ryan has some weapons there. Roddy White's aging. We don't know what they're going to get out of Leonard Hankerson. Who's their tight end? You know, they're going to be dumping the ball off to the running backs a lot, but I think Matt Ryan force feeds Julio Jones the ball this year. I think he has well over 100 catches. I think he has at least 10 touchdowns. And I think he could make it a magical season. If any positional player that's not a quarterback is going to win Offensive Player of the Year, I think it's Julio Jones. And now we're looking at your Defensive Player of the Year. Yours is a no-brainer. I think mine's almost a no-brainer, too. You can go 1A or 1B with either one of these guys.
Yeah, you can. They're both great defensive players. I chose J.J. Watt. Matt chose Luke Kuechly. They're both great defensive players. But, again, I think with J.J.'s ability to literally be all over the field at any given moment makes him, you know, hands down Defensive Player of the Year again.
Would it be crazy if J.J. Watt was Offensive and Defensive Player of the Year?
That would be insane. Unfortunately, I don't think he gets the offensive reps to do that.
I agree with Mike. I think it's pretty much a no-brainer that J.J. Watt becomes Defensive Player of the Year. I just wanted to mention Kuechly because he's a monster, man.
Yeah, and he's been overlooked over the last couple of years
because of J.J. Watt. Yeah,
J.J. Watt's just a freak athlete, as Matt has noted on Hard Knocks. How'd that go this week?
I didn't watch it.
Oh yeah,
I saw the roster cuts early. So, but listen, this has been a 2-man race and then a 3-man race the year Robert Quinn was nominated as one of the Defensive Player of the Year candidates. It's been a pretty much a two-person race for the last few years. Both of these guys are dominant players at their respective positions. Keekly flies all over the field. He's arguably the best middle linebacker in the league. And
see, now I think that Keekly has the disadvantage because of his position.
Right.
And he doesn't go in for the sacks.
Right.
You're like JJ Watt does.
He's not stuffing the stat sheet.
Correct. You're not going to see the stats. But I mean,
you look at a guy like Ray Lewis who didn't really stuff the stat sheet, but he you know, 14, 15 tackles a game.
Yeah, but both of these guys are, I mean, I don't not think, size-wise, but playing and skill-wise babies compared
but
to
I
Ray
think,
Lewis.
But I think when you're looking at candidates for Defensive Player of the Year, not only are you looking at their stats, but you're looking at the impact they make in the game. Same thing when you're picking an MVP. It might not be the best quarterback in the league, but it's the quarterback who made the biggest impact or the running back that made the biggest impact for their
team. Who's the most valuable.
Right. All right, so now we're going to talk about Comeback Player of the Years, and I am fucking amazed that you would even throw this name out there, because why on God's green earth would anybody give an award to a guy who hit his kid? We're not talking about the off-the-field shit, but there's no way Adrian Peterson is Comeback Player of the Year.
I'm going to disagree with you because I wrote him down as my Comeback Player of the Year. They're not giving the guy an award for hitting his kid. That was in the past. He's back now. It's all about football. Now, the last time that he missed some time was because of an injury. This time it's not. I don't think it's any different. He missed a year before. He came back. He rushed for over 2,000, right?
Yeah.
I don't think he reaches 2,000 again, but it's definitely comeback player worthy.
Listen, I can't believe you did that.
And
I can't believe you just did that.
I'm going to agree with you to some extent and say, how do they give this award to a guy who hit his kid? But if there was a second award, like an unrealistic reward, he's definitely getting it.
Listen,
I think he wins it, but he doesn't get the award.
The On the Clock podcast doesn't talk about the off-the-field issues, but pertaining to giving out an award, we're not the ones that are judging morals. The people giving the award out are, and I don't see them giving that award to Adrian Peterson.
You are totally correct, but if you don't look at morals, you know, this guy's
right.
Definitely
we don't look at morals, but they do.
I know, but
which
they,
is why,
but they shouldn't, and they
which
should
is
pick
why
AD.
It saddens my heart to say this, but I'm picking Sam Bradford,
the guy who has a couple quarters left in him.
Yeah, I'm picking Sam Bradford as my Comeback Player of the Year. If he's healthy, and I said it last week, I was talking to some Eagles fans, and they're like, look, Bradford looks good during the preseason, all this shit. And I just had to remind them that he didn't play in preseason week 4, but he did last year in St. Louis, and that's when he tore his ACL. Bradford might only have one quarter left, but if he plays 14 to 16 games healthy, I think he has a good chance to be the Comeback Player of the Year. Just that offense alone.
That offense alone is correct. You know, he definitely has the skill set along with the offense to, you know, make a push, you know, to become possibly even Offensive Player of the Year. You look at Nick Foles 2 years ago. He was great in this offense.
Yep.
They brought Mark Sanchez in last year.
And Mark Sanchez,
he was great in the offense.
He wasn't great. He was okay.
He was good.
Okay. Let's move on from the Comeback Player of the Year, and let's talk about Rookie of the Year. Mike, offensively, you're taking Mariota. You want to explain?
Well, I mean, there hasn't been in years past, as far as I can remember, an offensive Rookie of the Year who has come from the quarterback position. Has there? I just think that...
How about Andrew Luck? Or no, Robert Griffin, I'm sorry.
Did they?
Yep.
All right, well, I sit corrected. But I just think that Mariota has the skill set. I think that coming from an offense like Chip Kelly's, which clearly he brought into the NFL, a college-style offense, and he's having success. Not great success, but I think that Mariota can come in and win the Offensive Rookie of the Year. I just don't see talent, you know, anywhere else.
Okay, so over the last 2 years, no quarterback. Odell Beckham last year, deservingly so. Eddie Lacy the year before, great year. But then you have a run of Robert Griffin, Cam Newton, Sam Bradford, You have Percy Harvin the year before that, but then Matt Ryan. You have guys like Vince Young, Ben Roethlisberger.
I said over the last couple of years.
Right. You know, but I don't think Mariota takes it just because I don't see them winning more than five games. My pick is Amari Cooper, the wide receiver from Oakland. I see them being a nuisance in their division. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but they could win 7-8 games.
Oh, no, I definitely agree.
And if that's the case, then I think Amari Cooper is a big reason for that. I think he's an explosive player. I've talked about how much I like him. And with a guy like Derek Carr who's throwing lasers around the field, I have to argue. I mean, the last wide receiver to win it was Odell Beckham last year.
Yeah.
But he put up crazy disgusting numbers.
Yeah, he came in week 9 and just tore the league up.
Right. But I think Cooper could do it too.
See, now, in my opinion, it's harder. Other than, you know, Odell Beckham, who's obviously a freak. He had a great year. I think it's harder for a wide receiver to come out and win an award because he has to rely on the play of his quarterback.
All right, so now we're going to talk about defensive rookie of the year. Iron Mike sticks to the defensive line where three of the last five of defensive rookie of the year's players have come. Who's your pick, Mike?
I like Danny Shelton from Cleveland. He's just a really big dude.
He looks like he should have a tattoo on his face.
Yeah, I said that, you know, either the first or the second podcast. Probably both.
Probably.
But I just like his chances. Cleveland's defense is pretty good.
Right, and
underrated.
I think one thing that we left out from the podcast this week and last week was that Phil Taylor reached an injury settlement and was released by the Browns. He would have been their nose tackle had he not been injured, I think. But I think they realized Shelton's their guy, so there's nobody in front of him. He's the only nose tackle that's going to see time. And I think he comes in and makes an immediate impact. You're going to see him. You're going to see him week one against the Jets, and you're going to see how dominant this dude is. He walks around with the Hawaiian garment on in the pregame.
The luau belt.
You'd think he'd be doing one of those crazy dances where they, like BYU does and shit. And he's huge. So, I mean, look, is there any other defensive tackles on their roster? We talked about one of their other defensive tackles. His name's slipping.
I tried pulling up their depth Xavier chart, Cooper. But they don't have it up yet.
Xavier Cooper is another rookie that they drafted. Those are the only two I think are really going to get any snaps. You want to add anything to the Danny Shelton pick?
No, I just, you know, it's just one of those guys, I think, who, like you said, he's going to have an immediate impact, and he's going to take advantage of it. He doesn't seem like the type of player who's going to get the advantage and let it slip away.
No, I totally agree, and I think that he's going to be one of the best defensive tackles up there with Ndamukong Suh, Aaron Donald, guys like that. My defensive rookie of the year pick is Randy Gregory, the Dallas Cowboys pass rusher. I just think that with the success that Dallas is going to have offensively, that teams are going to have to throw to get into the games. And with, especially when Greg Hardy comes back, I think Randy Gregory could be a force in the league right away. I could see him posting well over double-digit sacks, maybe nowhere near 20. But if you look at some of the other defensive rookies, guys like Trey Waynes, who was selected above him, Leonard Williams, who was selected above him. Dante Fowler is out for the year. But some of these guys who should be making an immediate impact, I don't think anybody can put up the type of numbers that Gregory's going to do. Guys like Vic Beasley or Shane Ray, who are edge rushers, I don't see the same skill set. I don't think they're necessarily ready. I think Gregory could be on the field for three downs in Dallas. He's an every down type of player. And like I said, with that offense putting up so many points, the defense is going to have they're going to create turnovers because teams are going to be throwing the ball and they're going to get sacks.
I'm going to stick with Shelton as my pick. Gregory totally slipped my mind. Gregory's going to have a great year. I agree with you. Dallas's defense is going to play well this year, and he's going to be a big part of why they play well.
All right, I think we have about 5 minutes left, so let's talk a little bit about You want to do some FanDuel stuff?
Yeah, real quick. Let's put something together.
Yeah, I'm going to pull it up right now. I think I'm going to do the $1 million tournament. And I'm looking at the prices right now. And for the value, my quarterback, I think I'm going to have to say it's going to be Sam Bradford. He's 7,500, so he's not that expensive
compared to. Who are they opening up against?
Atlanta. Compared to just rambling off some names, Aaron Rodgers, 9,700, Andrew Luck, 9,200, Peyton Manning, 9,100, Drew Brees, 89, Russell Wilson, 88. So you're getting a value by taking Bradford with 7,500. And then the next closest thing is Teddy Bridgewater, who's 72, Andy Dalton and Marcus Mariota are 71, Jameis Winston and Ryan Fitzpatrick are cheaper than that. I mean, you're getting the value at the quarterback right there. Me and Iron Mike are pretty big FanDuel guys.
How about Ryan Tannehill? What do you think about him week one against the Redskins?
That's pretty good too. And what is last his price? Year? He's going for 8,000 though. I think you're getting a better deal with Bradford.
So how much are you saving with Bradford?
500.
Okay. If we have an extra 500, you want to go back and throw Tannehill in there?
We'll piece something together.
All right.
Let's go to the running backs. I'm spending the money on Marshawn Lynch. I think he's gonna get a ton of carries.
You're probably right.
The matchup isn't favorable. St. Louis has a pretty good defense, but you want volume. And then
St. Louis last year against the running backs were well. They played real well. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Top 12 against running backs last year in fantasy.
And then if you want to look at value again.
But like you said, I agree. I think Marshawn gets a lot of work this weekend.
What do you think? Danny Woodhead for 6,000 or Amir Abdullah for 5,900?
I don't think Danny Woodhead gets too much playing time. He's coming off the ankle injury from last year. And I just don't see them giving him a huge workload. Now, Amir Abdullah, I think he has the big play potential. He's going to be a boom or bust in week one. But
especially like you said, the Detroit defense, who might not have all their stuff together.
But with going big money on Lynch, you got to save some bucks and, you know, go a little bit cheaper at running
right
back.
Right off the bat for receivers, I'm spending the money on Dez Bryant. I think he has a huge game against the Giants.
The Giants had some trouble last year defending, against wide receivers. Who else could we throw in there? We could throw in maybe Jordan Matthews.
I just put him on my team.
Because Atlanta was pretty bad against wide receivers last year.
And in the $1 million tournaments, with the tournaments, there's a lot of people in them, so you have to have something that sets you apart from everybody else. My pick there is Kenny Stills at 5,400 against Washington. If he catches one deep ball, you know, and has a few other receptions, that could be a huge game. So we have 17,000 remaining. So we have Dez Bryant for 8,700, Matthews for 6,800, and Kenny Stills for 5,400.
You have to start three, right?
Which is big.
Three wide receivers.
Right.
All right, so.
We're also missing the Thursday night slate for this tournament. So we're not going to have Tom Brady, Gronkowski, and anybody else from the offense. At tight end, we have some money to spend, but I like Delanie Walker for 5,400 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I like that pick too. Delanie Walker is going to be a guy who has the chance to, you know, catch 6 to 10 balls every week. He has breakaway big play potential, and
I still have 90. After doing kickers and defense, I took Matt Bryant from Atlanta. I think he's going to get opportunities to kick field goals and extra points. I could even go, and actually I'm going to do that. I'm taking Cody Parkey for 5,000 because I think Philly puts up the points, and at the very least you want points regardless of how you get them. So if it's an extra point and they put up 35, you're getting, you know, what, 6 points?
All right, so how much do you have left? 1,900?
I took the Carolina Panthers defense against Jacksonville. I think they create some turnovers there.
Yeah, Jacksonville last year was
so we have tops. 19. We have 1900 left. I'm gonna go to upgrade my running back.
Why don't you try and upgrade Kenny Stills to maybe Jarvis Landry?
Well, let's just take a look at the running backs real quick.
All right.
If we want to save some money, I'm gonna go with Jonathan Stewart from Carolina against Jacksonville.
Jacksonville was third worst last year against running backs. That's a good choice.
And that leaves us with 700 left, so let's see if we can upgrade Kenny Stills to something better. And we have Allen Robinson against Carolina. I'm not huge on that.
No.
Doug Baldwin against Seattle, against St. Louis. I'm not big on that either.
St. Louis was pretty bad versus wide receivers, but I think that Marshawn Lynch takes over that
game. How about
game.
Charles Johnson against San Fran?
Charles Johnson against San Fran? No.
What else do we have? I'm going to leave that in there, but we still have 500 to play around with. We can take Greg Olsen against Jacksonville.
Let's take Greg Olsen against Jacksonville.
And that eats our salary. So for week one, I think my lineup's going to be Sam Bradford, Marshawn Lynch, Jonathan Stewart, Dez Bryant, Jordan Matthews, Charles Johnson, Greg Olsen, kicker Cody Parkey, and the Carolina defense against Jacksonville. Send us an email. Let us know. Maybe we'll create a league on FanDuel, maybe for $1, $2, just to get the fans involved if you guys want to play against me and Iron Mike. I think we're out of time, so thanks again for tuning in to the You're on the Clock podcast. And make sure, if you're in the New York, New Jersey area, especially in New Jersey, that you come out to the park, Bar and Tap, for Sunday football. Great food. They have over, I think they have something like 58 beers on tap. It's going to be good times. We're going to be doing some promotional stuff there, giving out t-shirts, stuff like that, all season. So make sure you come out and support us. And while you're doing it, grab a beer and get some good food. Mike, you got anything to say?
I don't know if you said it or not, but just you know, make sure you go, subscribe, download, rate 5 stars. You know, this is going to sound kind of dumb, but you don't even have to listen, but you probably are because you're listening to us on the clock.
All right, thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll catch you next week. Thanks again for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. For Iron Mike, my name is Matt Geiger, and you are now off the clock with the You're on the Clock podcast on the Ignotainment Media Network. And make sure you go to ignotainment.com and listen to the awesome lineup of podcasts they have. They have the Let's Get It On podcast with UFC ref Big John McCarthy. They have the Youth Baseball Talk podcast. Really, really good stuff on that. They have the Cannabis Logics. They have the Spinal Tap podcast. A bunch of cool stuff. They have the Ocho Man, who gives you the Behind the Eight Ball podcast. He goes in depth on some betting strategies, what games to bet, stuff like that. They have the Whiskey Philosopher. Once again, it's a lot of great stuff. You gotta make sure that you're tuning in to Ignotainment Media Network. And thanks again for listening.
You're on the clock with Matt Geiger, only on Ignotainment Media Network. Download the show and link to our social media accounts at ontheclockpodcast.com. Plus, be sure to check out the entire Ignotainment podcast lineup, including Let's Get It On with Big John McCarthy and Sean Wheelock, Youth Baseball Talk, Ocho Man, Behind the Eight Ball, and more at ignotainment.com.